Who is God? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher answering the question, who is God? Now, you may think that's a very deep theological question, but my dog thinks, hey, these people I live with feed me, love me, provide me with a nice, warm, dry house, pet me, and take care of me. They must be gods. However, my cat thinks, hey, these people I live with feed me, love me, provide me with a nice, warm, dry house, pet me, and take care of me. I must be God. Well, both are true. Both are true. It is interesting as we see the philosophy of people in the New Thought movement moving slowly to the realization that all is God. They act as though that's some sort of a new awareness that all is God. Well, this is what theology and religion has taught forever. Jesus taught that in no uncertain terms 2,000 years ago. And we still are just now becoming aware of it, now getting the message that all is God. All is God. All is God. Now, if I say that field of grain, all is wheat, you're going to say, all in that field of wheat is wheat. Every grain in there is a wheat grain, except where a weed might be. But basically, I'm saying that the wheat field is filled with wheat. And so each wheat seed is the same as another wheat seed. Every wheat seed has all that the wheatness is in it that wheatness is. And so whatever wheat is, it is in each seed of wheat. Now, is that understandable?
Yes.
Is that something you can accept? Is that something you can believe? That every wheat seed is a seed of wheat.
Yes.
And every seed of wheat, wherever it may be, is a wheat seed. Now, some may have a little different genes or chromosomes in them that make them into a dark wheat seed or a light wheat seed or a wheat seed from another country with a few other nationalities mixed up with it. But basically, a wheat seed is a wheat seed. To be called a wheat seed, it must have the information behind it that says this is a wheat seed. All right. I'll labor that. A wheat seed is a wheat seed. It is wheat. God is everywhere. Go ahead, tell me God's not somewhere. That's blasphemy. No. To say that the infinite allness that created allness and is the allness is not somewhere. God is not in the devil. God is not in hell. God is not in heaven. I mean, these are all man-made things. But God is everywhere. God is everywhere, and wherever God is, all of God is present. Now, who is God? God is every expression that exists in the universe and every non-expression that exists in the universe. It's the allness and the nothingness. All is God. Now, if we want to be funny about this, we say, well, gee, God can't be the negatives and the unhappiness and the misery of life. And who says? Who says God is the negatives, the unhappiness, and the misery of life? This is all a relative statement. Mm-hmm. It's a relative statement. God is the allness that you choose to make a performance and put on a play and play the game that God is limited is just an illusion. It fades away. Everything that exists is an illusion. God is not an illusion. If everything is God, then God must be the illusion too. Well, you see, when you are living your life in a very high state of consciousness, you look through the illusion and you see the reality behind it. Does that make sense? The illusion is the illusion. It's the temporariness. But you look through it and you see the divine, you see the reality, you see the absolute quality of what it is behind it. And as you see this, that is the reality. The illusion is not the reality. The illusion is just a temporary expression which has no finality to it. It has no eternality to it. We live in our bodies, and we would like to say, our bodies are forever. We live in our bodies forever. We take our bodies with us from dimension to dimension and do all these good things. Well, no, think about it. Do we take our car with us to every new house that we move to? Do we get rid of a car now and then and buy a new car? Mm-hmm. Do we sometimes put a car in storage? We have one of our Blue Expeditions that we have in storage because we don't need it. And we just have it there and we just leave it there. And one of these days we'll choose to use it again. We'll wind it up and bring her out. And it'll be just wonderful. But the car is of itself just an illusion. It disintegrates. The metals wear down very slowly, but bones wear down very slowly. You see, in a cremation, they burn the body and the bones and everything else, and they're all in just fine dust form. The bones are still a little crunchy, but basically it's all into dusty form and just little nubbins of nothing. And we spread them out over the garden or put them over the ocean and whatever as a symbol. But it really doesn't matter because if we took a car and cremated a car, would we put it on our mantle and worship it and say, that's my car, my eternal car? No, because that's just a passing illusion. God is not a passing illusion. God is all that is real, all that is everlasting, all that is forever and ever the same. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You don't know what your ideal spirit, mind, and body is. None of us do, because it is so beyond our apparent awareness now. If we train ourselves, we can look through each other and see the ideal spirit, mind, and body. If we train ourselves, we can look through. Well, when I give lectures and I am sitting before talking or whatever I'm doing before a number of people, whether it's 20 people, 10 people, or 100 people, or 1,000, I listen to their hearts. You say, you can listen to 1,000 hearts? Yes, there is a certain feeling that is present in numbers of people. There's a certain attitude that is present. There's a certain hopelessness or hopefulness or whatever it is that's with these people. And I speak to those things. And afterwards, people come up and they say, how did you know that was in my heart? And I say, well, I listened to it, that's why. But this, when you do that, you're training yourself in looking through the illusion to the reality. Now, we had a young man writing us a letter. He's one of our erstwhile students. And he was misusing drugs, and so he got put in prison. And nice guy, brilliant guy, but as he is in prison there, he is looking at all of these negative things that are going on around him, and so he writes to us about them. Well, this is a terrible thing, and that's a terrible thing, and that's a terrible thing. And so I wrote back to him. I said, if I am living in my spiritual qualities, I see everything spiritual. I see everything wonderful. I see everybody in the world harmonious and peaceful and joyous. I see myself harmonious, peaceful, and joyous. I see everything in a beautiful, harmonious, peaceful, and joyous way. I do not see any of the negatives, any of the inharmony, any of the problems, any of the illnesses, any of the conditions that might limit in any way. I don't see that. Now, how can you be so blind? It's training. It's training. Training not to see the limitations. And when you train yourself to, you don't train yourself not to see the limitations. You train yourself to see the beauty, the harmony, the peace. You have to sometimes look past an outer illusion to get there, but you look past that outer illusion and get there and realize it. Two people, the heads of nations, are talking to each other, and one affronts the other. And the other says, how dare you speak to me like that? This means war. And then the other says, I'm sorry, what did I say? And he says, well, you told me I was this and that. And I said, oh, excuse me. That was not the intention I had. You are not this and that. You are this and this. You are a positive, beautiful person. Well, now, a war was averted just by a simple renunciation of a fact and putting the proper cause in motion. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, you see, that's an illusion that the war is there. It's an illusion. There's going to be a war. The heads of state are arguing with each other and disagreeing with each other. There's going to be a war. There's going to be a war. And they want to exacerbate that war and bring it about. They want that because that makes news stories and that makes all sorts of interesting things to write about. However, the heads of state are not touched by the journalists. They're not touched by the media. They're not touched by the need of certain areas to be hired to build armaments and things like that. They're not touched by that. They're touched only by how they respond with one another. And if the heads of state are truly men of diplomacy, then if they make a mistake, they immediately correct it. If they make a mistake and are misunderstood, they immediately take responsibility for it and put the right cause in motion. And this is what we do as masters. This is what we do as God. We immediately take responsibility for ourselves, and our thoughts are always godly thoughts. Our thoughts are always based upon what we understand God to be. And who is God?
I.
God is every expression on the face of the earth or in the universe. God is all. God is I. That's true, too. But God is all. God is everywhere. God is in the flea. He is in the atom. He's in the dust speck. He's in the what? And we really shouldn't be saying he. We should be saying it. But we're so accustomed to throwing the he in there, meaning a non-personal being, but nonetheless, it still ends up that way. And if we call it an it, we can also call children it before we find out what's it going to be. You know, what's your child going to be, a boy or a girl? And if you don't have a scan, you don't know. But these are things. These are things. God is all. And what does it mean to have God be all? It means that everything in this universe is God. And we take responsibility for being God, or we play the illusionary game that we don't have to take responsibility and we can live in our own mess. Now, what do you want? How are you going to act as God? What sort of way is your life going to be expressed as God? We are not a little bit of God. We are not a child of God. We are not an expression of God. We are not any of these terms of limitation. We are 100% God. We are 100% God, whether we know it or not. This is who we are. We may pretend otherwise. We can pretend that we're not the child of our father and go around acting stupid. And then the word gets back to our father, your child has been acting stupid. And the father says, that's not how we act. That's not how we live. Well, somewhat the same thing. The divine is always perfect. And we go around pretending that we're not divine. And the divine in us says, that's not the way we act. That's not the way the divine acts. The divine sees everything divine. So this day, let each of us take responsibility for being God and realize that as God, we create the world every single moment by our thought. And the world we create is good and very good. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.